Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
They're two different type backs, and you know, we haven't seen Lindsey, and I think we saw Melvin maybe a few years back in San Diego at that time. But yeah, both of them, they're different style runners, and yet both very effective.
In the Broncos put their rushing attack against the New Orleans Saints defense. That's Sean Payton talking about Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay. How effective will Taysom Hill be? Here is Sean Payton about his debut.
Look, I thought overall for his first game he did a good job. You know, we went into that game, certainly we're playing a familiar opponent with Atlanta, and yet they do a number of things defensively that can be challenging, and I think like any quarterback in his first start, you know, there's some early game jitters kind of getting into it. And I felt as the second quarter of the second half took place, he really did a good job. So I was pleased. It's good to get the win versus a division opponent like that. I thought we played very well defensively. And situationally, you know, we won a number of matchups.
And so what to know Wednesday, what should we know about this offense, Tyler, with Taysom Hill as their quarterback?
Well, Taysom Hill looked really good to me last week, man. I mean, he was just flat out efficient. When they came out against the Falcons, I was expecting them to come out with this run first quarterback kind of draw, quarterback lead, almost Baltimore Ravens type of offense. And it's really not what they did. They came out and they ran a New Orleans Saints offense. That's what they did. Taysom Hill played underneath center. They relied on a very strong running game, and they relied on a ton of play-action passing. Taysom was 18 of 23 in this game. I mean, that's about as efficient as you could possibly get. He didn't throw for any touchdowns, but he ran for one, and he was efficient down there in the lower red zone. When they got into the second half, they started to utilize him with his feet a little bit more. He had a couple nice scrambles. I think he ran for around 51 yards on the entire game. But overall, you're looking at an offense that, traditionally speaking, is one of the best scoring offenses in the NFL. They're number five at 29.5 points per game. Mm. Now, do I think they're going to score 29.5 against the Broncos? I do not. Taysom Hill is not going to be Drew Brees. I don't think he's going to put up that type of numbers. But if you've got to find a way to really shut down the running game very quickly, because if you do, then they won't be able to throw off play action. And if you ask Taysom Hill to throw out a shotgun and throw when things are off schedule, he's probably going to look a little bit different. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks can be incredibly efficient when you throw the ball off play action that often. So the key when you play the Saints this week, it's going to be shutting down that run.
All right, talk to me about the running backs, because, of course, Kamara is their headliner, but Latavius Murray, we saw a lot of him because we studied Pat Shurmur and the Vikings from a couple years ago. Man, what a duo they have.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know, they're just one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. Kamara is not only running the ball well, he's a very effective receiver. Matter of fact, yeah, he's leading their team in receptions right now. Latavius Murray has got their setup right now is what the Broncos were dreaming of with our two guys and Gordon and Lindsey. I mean, those two guys, they're splitting the load. Kamara's got 117 rushes. Murray's got 102. Kamara's got 531 yards. Murray's got 427. I mean, that's just a very, very solid 1-2 punch, and they're utilizing them very well. And on top of it all, Kamara's doing a great job when he gets the ball in his hands in the passing game. Kamara's 648 yards on 67 receptions this year.
We'll dig more into that in a little bit. And I don't want to walk past Michael Thomas and our pal Emmanuel Sanders, too, but I want to get to the offensive line, because this to me is what the what could have been for the Broncos offensive line.
Man, you're
and,
not kidding.
And go ahead. Talk to me about these guys.
Well, you start with the what could have been with Ryan Ramczyk and Garrett Bowles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were the same class. Garrett Bowles goes number one in the draft. Ryan Ramczyk is the second tackle selected. And he's just been steady Eddie, rock solid. I mean, not just steady Eddie. I mean, he's been a superstar playing right tackle for the Saints. Armstead's over on the left side, a fantastic left tackle. At center, they've got a guy that we've talked about plenty, and Eric McCoy.
And let me just, with McCoy quickly, if the Broncos had not gotten Drew Lock, they could have easily picked up McCoy in the second round as well as Dalton Risner. It could have happened that way. We thought it was going that way because Joe Flacco, we were told, was in his prime. So we were talking about for consecutive years how the Broncos should bolster their offensive line. We talked a ton about Ramczyk. We talked a ton about Eric McCoy. And Cesar Ruiz is back.
So Cesar Ruiz is playing guard for the New Orleans Saints, but he was my favorite center in the draft. And he was selected higher than I thought he would have gone. The Saints selected him in the first round. Mm-hmm. They obviously valued him very, very highly, and they had a game plan. They already had McCoy. They knew that they could use him as the center. They put Ruiz at guard, and he's doing a nice job for him, man. I mean, overall, one of the best offensive lines in football.
What makes them such a tight unit?
Well, I mean, I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question.
What makes them so good?
Well, they're great in pass protection. They're steady Eddie. They're road graders in the running game.
Mm.
If you ask them to call inside zone, you're going to get 3 to 4 yards, guaranteed. If you ask them to call outside zone, you've got a chance to go for 10 to 12 yards. They don't have a weak link. Like, when you look at it, you try to identify who's the weak link on the offensive line, and you think, okay, let's game plan around this. Well, find me it. Find me who's the weak link on that offensive line.
I'm really looking forward to the war room today because Mark Schlereth will be here as well as Mike Evans. And I can't wait to hear the two of you talk about power running. Power running and how effective it can be and how to possibly stop it. We saw, we saw with the Broncos. They do it all the time with Taysom Hill.
Well, it'll be great to talk to Mark because Mark is actually, he's a consultant for their running game. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that would help. It's time for our injury report presented by The Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. A lot of guys with vet days today. Bryce Callahan, Graham Glasgow, DeMar Dotson, Trey Marshall. Nothing really to worry about. Shelby Harris was present at practice today, did not participate, and we did hear Mark Barron has been activated from IR. The corresponding move was Levante Bellamy was released, although they hoped to get him back. And Jake Rogers, Tyler, was released today as well, but again, they're hoping to sign him back on practice squad. That was our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. You have said to me multiple times, this is the best defense the Broncos have faced yet this year. We'll explain why next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
It's a What to Know Wednesday, and we're thrilled during the war room today to have Mike Evans and Mark Schlereth. That is going to be a blast. That'll happen in about 40 minutes. Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, on what has made their run defense so effective.
Well, look, generally speaking, you know, you're trying to play the game on their side of the line of scrimmage. I think that you've got to have gap discipline, and players need to understand their fits. And then, you know, the obvious would be you've got to tackle well. So we've gone against a multitude of offenses, if you will, and yet those same things have to be in place for you to defend the run and defend it well.
Tyler, talk to me about this Saints defense. Why is it the best defense the Broncos have seen to this date?
Yeah, it is the best defense. It's not even close. Buckle up, because I got some stats for you that are a little bit terrifying here. This is a huge week for Garrett Bowles in particular and our entire offensive line. Listen, the Saints had 8 sacks last week against Matt Ryan. It was an absolute disaster.
Slaughter.
He was under duress the entire game. Trey Hendrickson, Cam Jordan are their two edge rushers. Those are going to be the two guys that Garrett Bowles is going to be facing off against. And I'm excited to watch Garrett Bowles go up against two guys of elite category like this, because this is what we got to find out. Okay, Garrett, can you do this against the best of the best? Trey Hendrickson has got 9.5 sacks. Cam Jordan's got 5.5. I mean, that's good for 15 combined between those two players alone. And their pass rush is just tremendous. But where do they really separate themselves? Well, it's in the rush. It's in the rush defense, man. I mean, this rush defense is averaging 74 yards per game. That's what they're averaging that opponents are giving and getting. Not a single running back that they have played has gone for over 100 yards against them. Not a single one. And the last three games in the second half, in the last three games combined, this defense has given up 6 points total in 3 games in the second half. I mean, this is a team that knows how to close. This is a team that knows how to defend the run. This is a team that knows how to get after the quarterback.
How do they do it?
On top of that,
how do they do it?
Well, on top of that, they're great at creating turnovers. Mm. They've got 7 interceptions in the last 3 games. I mean, I went back and I did a pretty deep dive on the last 3 games against San Francisco, against Tampa Bay, and oh gosh, who was last week?
I got you.
Atlanta,
yes.
Yeah. And it was one of the most impressive defensive performances I've ever watched, man. I mean, you know, teams, I think you said something a little bit earlier today that I think is true, that teams don't necessarily test them as much in the running game. Well, there's a reason why teams don't test them in the running game. I mean, number one, it is easier to throw the ball against the Saints than it is to run the ball against the Saints. But number two, I mean, in the last 3 weeks, teams are averaging 2.43 yards per rush against the New Orleans Saints. There's nowhere to run the ball. They are just as sound of a defensive unit as it gets. So, you know, I'm excited about the opportunity for Garrett Bowles, because I want to see this guy go up against the best of the best, and that's who you're going to be facing this week.
How specifically did they get 8 sacks against Matt Ryan?
Well, I mean, it was anywhere you looked. I mean, pick your poison, man. Hendrickson is...
Oh, was it blitzing? Was it complicated schemes?
No,
was it...
not really. I mean, it's just their 4 guys are
better
just winning their matchups.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they will blitz. But at the end of the day, they've got 2 edge rushers that are 2 of the best in the game. And, I mean, Matt Ryan couldn't do a single thing. I think Matt Ryan was holding on to the ball way too long. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if I were to attribute all those sacks, I would give Matt Ryan at least 3, maybe 4 of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime you get 8, 9, 10 sacks, you know the quarterback's got some responsibility
but
there.
But if you can put pressure with 4 guys, you can defend the rest of the field. You can make it if you can do it.
Well, it's going to be a big week for draws, screens, quick slants, the quick passing game. You can't hold on to this ball. You just can't do it. This is not the team that you think you can pull the double moves on. And take advantage of a team that likes to get up the field like these guys do. And when you've got defensive ends, when you've got pass rushers that will vacate space quickly, will take advantage of that space that they just vacated, toss some quick screens, use the running backs, and, you know, use a few draws, 2 things that I don't think we ever do.
Right.
You know, when we watched Pat Shurmur in the offseason,
yeah,
he had a ton of screens, a ton.
He did.
Where have those been?
I don't know. But we never saw Pat Shurmur use guards and tackles to pull like he did last week. We didn't see that either.
Well, bring him out this week. This is the week that you got to do it, because you got to find a way to slow down that pass rush.
All right. It's going to be fun having Mark and Mike in here to really, you know, Mark is actually doing this game. So I can't wait to hear you guys talk about that. And Mike will be here too. When we come back, though, I'll kill you with truth. I think there's a flaw, not a flaw, but there's a twist to how good the Saints run defense is We found some numbers to back it up. I'll run it past you next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth.
Tell the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here on The Drive.
All right, coming into this, we heard how great, and I get it, how great the Saints' running defense is. And I suspected something, Tyler. I just wondered about these numbers.
I'm nervous for you.
And my guy, Richie Carney, pulled out a little bit of research, which I appreciate. Now, in terms of yards given up, the defense is number one. They've only given up 743 yards, and that's 3.3 per carry, which actually isn't number one. The Buccaneers, believe it or not, only average 3.2, but it is number two. I was like, well, how often do teams try to run the ball against the Saints? And even though they're number one in yards allowed, in terms of attempts, rushing attempts against their defense, they're 32nd, meaning teams give up running the ball against the Saints like nobody's business. Now, you might say, well, they just are resigned to the fact they can't do it. Except, look who beat the Saints. The Raiders beating the Saints 34-24 with 35 rushing attempts and 38 passing attempts. By far the most rushing attempts against the Saints, because teams just give up. And in their 7-game win streak, you realize the Bucs rushed the ball 5 times against them? Do you realize Todd Gurley had 8 rushing attempts, even though the score of that game was 10-9 at halftime? So here's the truth against this Saints rushing defense. It's a bit of a paper tiger. I'm not saying they aren't any good. I'm just saying the teams against the Saints give up on running the ball way too quick. And their numbers are a little diluted, in my opinion, based on the fact that teams just stop trying. So the truth is the Broncos have to follow, I can't even believe I'm saying it, the Raiders example and not give up in this department. And that, my friends, is the truth.
All right. I mean, I would agree with what you're saying there, that you can't just give up when things aren't going well, because, listen, it's going to be hard to run the ball on these guys. But if we learned anything about Drew Locke, we've learned that he plays better when you've got a good running game and when you give him play action and you allow him to play underneath center. So, sure, I would agree with your premise that you got to stick with it even if things are not going well. I'm telling you, man. Last 49 games. So how far does that go back, you ask me? In the last 49 games the Saints have played, that goes back to 2017. Not a single 100-yard rusher. This is not a fluke. This is not a one-year deal. This is a scheme. This is a system. This is a coaching staff that just flat out knows how to defend the rush. And, you know, the Saints, okay, Why do they have the fewest rushing attempts against them? Well, because it's really hard to run the ball against them. And sure, you know, like, would you tell me the Bucs, what did you say, they ran it 5 times or something like that?
5 times.
Okay, that's clearly pathetic. That's clearly not acceptable. And if we do that, buckle up for a long day for Drew Locke, because he's not the type of quarterback that can sit back and throw the ball 45, 50 times per game. That's just not who he is. So you're right, man. Stay disciplined, even if it's hard. And if nothing else, I mean, I would stay disciplined, not because I'm expecting the dam to break. I don't. But I would stay disciplined just so that you can have enough running game that you can continue to play underneath center and that you can continue to utilize play action. But, man, this is easily the best era of rush defense I have ever seen. It's not a fluke. It goes back to 2017. Not a single time in the last 49 games as a single guy ran for over 100 yards. In the last three games combined, teams are managing a measly 1.6 yards per rush. Part of that is because teams give up, sure. But bottom line is it's hard to run the ball.
I'll counter stat your counter stat.
Sure.
And point out the game that the game against the Raiders that the Saints lost, and they lost the game 34-24. So the Raiders scored 34 points with this approach. Josh Jacobs, 27 carries for 88 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it. Not 100.
And that was the best that they've had, like, in 4 years.
Okay. But they just kept at it. Mm-hmm. They were relentless with it. Now, Derek Carr, to prove your point about how important it is, because they were so dramatic in how they were attacking and they didn't give up, Derek Carr had 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. And I can only imagine if you were really to go through the game, you would see through play action, the field probably magically opened up. And when teams just, you know, mentally get beat early because you stuff them and you just negate everything, they just make it. And you saw Matt Ryan. That was ridiculous late in that game. The whole second half was, and that game was 10-9. 10-9 at halftime, and it was only like a drive at the end of the half that gave the Saints the lead. The Falcons were actually leading that game for the vast majority of the first half. The Falcons' problem is deep. I can't even believe we lost to the Falcons, to be honest with you, but, you know, they just can't finish anything, and they got a good kicker, and they got Todd Gurley, which is like a ghost to them. They barely use the dude, so I have no idea exactly what's going on there. But I think if the Broncos just stick to it and use a running game similar to what they did last week, and I don't care if you are telegraphing everything, because I still don't know how you stop what the Broncos did. And by the way, the Saints on offense use that same scheme all the time, because Taysom Hill on 3rd-and-1, I seriously don't know how you stop that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care. They tell you what they're doing. It's no secret what they're doing. It's just, how do you stop them? I think you can stop them if you can just sort of Tebow defense it up earlier on. I think if it gets 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, you're kind of a dead duck sometimes against the Saints. Goal line, you're probably a dead duck against the Saints. I get it. But if you put Taysom Hill in some throwing third downs, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And he should have given away a couple of interceptions, by the way, in that Falcons game that he didn't. They were right there, which feels a lot when we were watching the Dolphins and the Chargers, and we said, hey, man, I get it, Tua, but really, go watch that game. There should have been 3 interceptions against him. And the Broncos, when they had the opportunities to make the picks against Tua, they didn't, and they just stifled them anyways. And the Broncos' defense is so much better than the Falcons. They really are.
Well, here's the lesson for Pat Shurmur is that, I mean, although I disagree with you in premise that this is a fluke, I think this is the furthest thing from a fluke. I agree with you on this. You have to stay committed to the running game this week. And,
yes.
And so my message to Pat Shurmur would be, accept a mediocre running game. Do not expect it to be anything insane. And when you only get 2 or 3 yards per carry, it's okay. You have to continue to run the dang ball. Don't expect the dam to break. It might, and it might, and if it does, fantastic. If you can be the first team since 2017 rush for over 100 with one guy, fantastic. I hope you are. But more realistically, I would expect an average of 2 to 3 yards per pop, but continue to do it because
yeah.
You have to understand who your quarterback is. Understand who you've got. Understand who Drew Locke is. And understand when he's had success and when he has really just outright failed.
Just don't give up on it. That's all I'm saying. Don't give up on it. I think it can click in. Don't be intimidated by how good they are. I get it. They're good. But just, I can't follow the Raiders example. And hey, man, Josh Jacobs was getting like 3.2 a carry, Tyler. It's not like they were having crazy, unbelievable success with
yeah.
it. But it was like chip, 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 and then a strike. Don't give up on it. That's all I'm saying. And, well, that's the truth. I can't wait to talk about it with Mike and Mark. They're going to join us for the War Room brought to you by Brothers Barbecue. I know it's way early in the week for this, but we're not on for Thanksgiving and the day after. So here we go. We'll go to our keys of the game and our prediction. We're making ourselves do it today to figure this out. That's next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, we're getting in early as we're off for the next couple days. Don't fear, though. The Fan rolls on. But this is our last chance, Tyler, to get to the keys of the game. And that's the Broncos against the Saints, presented by Keeman Criminal Defense. GoAwayDUI.com. Remember, the key to your best defense is choosing the right lawyer. Well, I just talked about it with I Kill You With Truth, so I'll just stick to it, Tyler. With my first key to the game, don't give up on the run. Don't give up on the run, baby. Don't give up. Just keep going. Be relentless. Even if it's not paying huge dividends right away, it'll pay off eventually. And use that two-headed monster you have with Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon the best that you can. I know it might be tough sledding, and it may look ugly early, but don't give up on it. Keep hammering away.
You know what? I hear what you said in I Kill You With Truth, and I agree with a lot of it. I agree that you have to stay committed. I disagree with a little bit of, you know, that it's going to break. And I too, have that as one of my keys to the game, that you do have to stay committed to the run. Not necessarily because I think the running game is going to pay dividends, but because it's the only way to manage your quarterback. And you have to do what you have to do to manage your quarterback. You have to give Drew Lock a resemblance of a running game that he can play underneath center, that you can utilize play action, and not ask him to throw the ball 40 or 45 times per game. So although it's a key to game, it's a little bit different. And I would just say, accept a mediocre running game this week and continue with it, because the dividends not necessarily will be paid off through the running game, but because you help out your quarterback.
Second key for me is play a Tebow-like defense. When defenses were successful with Tebow and the Broncos, which Taysom Hill does remind me of, they simply didn't allow Tebow to get outside. They didn't allow him to get the edge. They kind of just, it was almost comical the way they would just sort of post up and just clutter up the middle of the field, short throws. Make it uncomfortable for those slants or middle throws. Dare him to throw the ball down the field. I mean, it wasn't a lot of down the field passes we saw with Hill ever, but against the Falcons, those were ducks, dude. This is not what this guy does the best. Challenge him. You want to put it down? Now, listen, he's got a couple of great receivers. I mean, they can make chicken salad out of chicken, you know. No doubt about it, with Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas, they can do some cool things one-on-one. It can happen. But interceptions can happen. You can hold the ball a little bit too long. Just, you know, don't be dumb in terms of allowing him to get yards where he shouldn't. And you can probably do that, Tyler, with the way the Broncos defense played last week. I mean, you could probably do that, you would hope, with four, maybe five guys. But you probably can get to him with just four dudes, I think.
All right. I'll stick along those lines. And one of my keys to the game, you got to disguise your coverage against this guy. And if you do a good job of creating chaos, remember how panicked we were about what the Miami Dolphins were going to do and how confusing that was for a young quarterback. You walk up the line of scrimmage, you make them think that you're bringing cover zero every time. Sometimes you do, sometimes you bail out. Point being, Taysom Hill has one game experience playing quarterback. One.
Right.
That's it. So let's make this confusing on this guy, okay? Let's disguise our coverages. Let's make him think he's getting cover two. Let's give him something else. Let's make him think he's getting cover zero. Let's bring enough blitzes that that becomes a reality. Then you bail out. Maybe drop a couple of your pass rushers into coverage every now and then and see if you can cheat, get an easy interception because you disguise your coverage as well.
All right, last key to the game. Just don't let special teams be a factor here, which is funny because special teams was a huge factor. If you remember the last time the Broncos actually played and beat the Saints, do you remember the special teams play that tipped the advantage to the Broncos against the Saints? I'll be amazed if you do, but do you?
Simmons stepped out of bounds.
Oh, well, I thought it was Will Parks. Did he step out of bounds?
Well, Sean Payton would tell you he did.
Yeah, he would. If you forget, it's when, who was it, Will Parks who hopped over the...
Well, Simmons jumped
Simmons
over.
Simmons blocked it. Gotcha.
Simmons jumped over.
That was the famous, yeah. He just jumped over the center. Will Parks picked it up,
That's
ran
right.
down the field.
Right.
According to Sean Payne, you know, I do have that somewhere here. Hold on. I'll find it here in a second. But don't let special teams beat you. By the way, they've got an amazing special team stat. You know me and the special teams. Their punter is last in the league in punting average. Last.
Ooh.
But guess what? They are first in the league in return average. So guess what they do when they punt the ball?
Punt it out of bounds.
They kick the ball out of bounds. I love that stat. We have the shortest kicker in the league, but we don't have anybody return the ball against us either.
Right.
Because he just simply kicks the ball his average is 41.3.
Okay.
41.3. He just kicks the ball out of bounds. Whereas, now think about this, the Broncos are 46-7, but they give up they're 20th in the league. They give up 9.2. So just do some number crunching here. You kick the ball 46.7, but you give up 9.2. So really, the gross net, I don't know, one of those things, is like 37 yards. The Saints are last, but it's 41 yards.
Okay.
So by kicking it out of bounds, their opponents are actually, on average, starting a little deeper in terms of their possession.
That was deep, man. That was deep. That
special
was good.
Teams,
that was good
baby.
Stuff. That was good stuff.
All right, what's your last?
All right, my final key to victory here is offensively, we have to use their strengths against them. This is a great pass rushing group. I mean, they had 8 sacks last week against Matt Ryan. Trey Hendrickson has got 9.5 sacks on the year. Cam Jordan's got 5.5 sacks on the year. It's going to be a big test for Garrett Bowles, for DeMar Dotson, and we need to contain their pass rush. Well, how do we do that? Use their strengths against them. They get up the field quickly. They vacate space quickly. And so we should take advantage of that space. Have a great screen game. Have a great draw plan. Use your slants. Use your quick hitters in the passing game. And make sure that you find a way to contain their pass rush.
It's time to make our picks.
All right.
Picks are brought to you by King Supers.
All right.
The official grocery store of your Denver Broncos. I'm making mine at 1043thefan.com right now. No soft picks here allowed. You say it on the air, you back it up online. No Mike Evans moves here.
The shot's fired.
I didn't know. I'm taking the Broncos to win 23-20. Tyler?
All right, man. I mean, listen, I hope you're right. And if you're going to win, I think that's an appropriate score. You're going to have to win a low-scoring game because I don't think that Taysom Hill is going to go out there and put up 27, 29 points on you. So it feels like an appropriate number. I, unfortunately, have got the Broncos losing, and I think it's going to be around 24-17.
Okay.
I mean, listen, this is the best defense we played. It's not even close. They're on a 7-game winning streak. Sean Payton is one of the best play callers in the NFL. Year in, year out, I put him in the top 3 of the best play callers. The Saints are in a different category than us. And even with Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback, that team is very elite.
I'm just not buying it with Taysom Hill.
Okay.
That's it. If this was Drew Brees, I'd be picking the Saints. Did anybody pick the Broncos against the Saints on our big board of predictions? Anybody? Loss. I don't see one person. Yeah, nobody. Nobody on the staff at the beginning of the year had this as a win, Tyler. Nobody. But the twist is Taysom Hill. And I do really, honest to God, believe with a week's worth of film to be able to really look at it, it's going to be a huge advantage. Don't forget, Tebow came in years ago and won his first game, was that miracle against the Dolphins. And then he got smashed the next game.
I hope you're right. Unfortunately, when I watch Taysom Hill, I don't see anything that looks like Tim Tebow.
How do you not? We're running a promo about it. How do you not see it?
Yeah, just because it was you. I mean, he was 18 of 23. He was insanely efficient. Yes, he runs the ball down there in the lower red zone. But, I mean, if you watch the first half against the Falcons, they didn't even try to run him. He was in the pocket. He was a pocket passer. He wasn't scrambling around. He wasn't doing anything insane.
And they were terrible.
They were not terrible.
What happened in the second half?
They were not terrible.
What happened in the second? It was okay.
They were fine. Taysom Hill was efficient.
I mean, he was lucky he didn't turn the ball over a couple of times. But what happened? I can think of one.
Outside of the deep ball that he got incredibly lucky, he underthrew Emmanuel Sanders by about 6 yards, and somehow Emmanuel comes back. That should have been an INT.
There was a guy at the goal line, and I forget who the player was. Now, it would have been a spectacular interception, but he had one hand on it for sure right at the goal line, and he couldn't bring it in.
I don't remember.
Well, I do.
No, I'm sure you do.
Anyways, nobody's really going to fight with you about picking the Saints over the Broncos here. I get it. I just think if there was ever a situation for the Broncos to beat them, this is it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this is your opportunity. You've got a backup quarterback. Matter of fact, he's not even the backup quarterback. Jameis Winston was the backup quarterback.
Yeah, how about that, by the way?
They took a flyer, and Sean Payton literally just wanted to see what they had in Taysom Hill. That's what it came down to.
Do you think Taysom Hill has a chance to be the long-term quarterback for the Saints?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
I do.
Tim Tebow's popping a champagne cork. Non-alcoholic.
Stop comparing Taysom Hill to Tim Tebow.
I don't know how you don't see it.
Tim Tebow couldn't run an efficient offense like that if his life depended on it.
We'll see, man.
Because they both run the ball does not make them comparable quarterbacks.
We'll see. There's tape on it now.
Tim Tebow ever complete over 78% of his passes?
Probably not. He was not good in that department. Mm. But teams figured that out. It's one game,
and you might be right. But I'm just telling you, based off the one game that we saw, that was not Tim Tebow.
I'm talking about one game. This game. In a weird spot for the Saints, a weird travel destination for them. And listen, man, there's no doubt the Dolphins were just... Tua was off his game. And I get it. Taysom Hill, he is 30 years old, by the way. I did not realize he was actually that old. Mm-hmm. He's 30 years old. If this was in New Orleans, I probably would think differently about it. But there are some quirky factors about coming up here to Colorado.
I don't even think about home versus road this year. Well, without the fans.
I get it, but you're outside. It's the weather. What is the weather going to be on Sunday?
You always default to the weather. That's always your default.
I do love the weather. Me and the weather.
Like, oh man, this is our big selling point. We're in Denver.
Sunny but 39.
Oh yeah.
Sunny but 39. Yeah. Hey, by the way, here is Sean Payton talking about the Will Parks thing. Did he step out of bounds?
The rule there is spat your shoes, right? Spat them white. It was a heck of a play by him. You know, his anticipation when they needed it. You know, here was an extra point, and the next thing you know, you're on your sideline watching it get returned. So. Yeah, that was a tough loss, and obviously a good win for Denver.
Yeah, wait till Sunday. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. 5 o'clock.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you.
And with that, we welcome you to War Room Wednesday, presented by Brothers Barbecue. Brothers Barbecue has your holiday gathering covered with whole smoked turkeys and hams, available for pickup, hot and fresh on Thanksgiving, fresh, never frozen, all natural turkeys smoked over fresh cut hickory, all the holiday sides and fixings, stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, mac and cheese, and fresh baked cornbread. They're open tomorrow until 2 p.m. You can eat it in a big brown shoe if you choose. And you can pick up your smoked turkey and holiday packs hot, fresh, and ready to serve.
For COVID reasons, we are doing our war room, but our two best buddies are virtual, but we are happy to bring Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans into the program. Fellas, happy Thanksgiving. And I just want to say off the bat, Mike, if it wasn't for your stupidity, I wouldn't be as grateful as I am to be right so often. So I am so grateful for you. I want to thank you for that day after day.
You know, I'm just bummed out that I couldn't be there just so I could see that weathered, torn, beat up copy of the Tebow manifesto that's in the back pocket that you've been walking around with all week.
There's a chance. You're telling me there's a chance.
Does Taysom Hill, I'll start with you, Mike, and we'll go to Mark. Does Taysom Hill remind you of Tim Tebow?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. I watched Taysom Hill play last week.
Unbelievable.
And he moved around, and at times he looked, because he was wearing the Saints uniform, he kind of looked Breeze-like in the way that he was moving around the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield, completing passes. But I'll step aside, because I know that, Mark, you have talked to Sean Payton explicitly about the Taysom Hill Tim Tebow comparison. So please shatter D-Max visions of grandeur. Please.
I love having you guys on. This is so much fun.
D-Max, you've seen the movie Cars, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
McQueen, Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, comparing Taysom Hill to Tim Tebow is like comparing Lightning McQueen to Mater. That's about where the comparison's at. First off, the guy is a phenomenal. I mean, he is a phenomenal athlete.
Oh, Tim Tebow wasn't a phenomenal athlete?
Not like this guy. Not even close.
Oh, okay.
It's not close. You're talking about a 4.740 versus a 4.440.
I'm not asking him to run 40 yards. I'm asking him to get 1 or 2 yards. That's what he's asked to do. Not run 40 yards.
You don't want to continue to compare? You're talking about who can throw the ball versus a guy who can't throw the ball.
Well, the sample size is small on Taysom Hill. We'll see.
No, I mean, I talked to Sean Payton about it, exactly about this. And he said this guy is such a better athlete. Now, listen.
You asked Sean Payton specifically comparing Hill to Tebow.
I talked to him this summer at length. I had almost an hour long conversation with him this summer, not just about that, but about a lot of things. And he talked about the fact that Taysom Hill could be the Saints quarterback when Drew Brees ends up retiring. He's got that much faith in his throwing ability. He is a phenomenal runner of the football. There's no question. But he's got that much faith in him as a thrower. And if you go back through his film, now, last week, notwithstanding, there weren't a lot of layered concepts last week. There were a lot of individual route concepts. So you get in a 3-by-1 formation and you throw X slant, you throw X comeback, you throw X curl, there was a lot of one-on-one stuff out there. Threw a couple of burners, underthrown balls on the deep route. And he wasn't very good with that stuff, but the individual routes, his ability of timing and sense of passing, he's not as an accomplished passer.
You think you're insulting me somehow, but what you're saying just reinforces what I thought about Tebow in the first place. If you give it some time and cater things around him, he can succeed. The difference between how you view it and I view it is I do view Tebow like Taysom Hill, and you don't.
But Tebow had twice the sample size, three times the sample size, could complete 18 out of 23
passes. I will be
passes.
Stunned if the NFL and Sean Payton and the Saints truly commit to Taysom Hill. I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I think that could have been the future with Tebow, but I'll be shocked if it actually happens.
Well, I'm just telling you that the difference in the skill set of just purely throwing the football, two completely different skills.
We'll see. Did you see the duck he completed to Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, I saw. I mean, I broke down the entirety of the game.
All right, and I know you're.
I've watched about six other games in their entirety with him playing the F receiver, him playing the U tight end, the Y tight end, the fullback, the tailback, the run, the quarterback. The guy is he's an accomplished route runner. He's an accomplished football player.
You know, hey, I want this on the record right now for this conversation.
We might have to go off the record.
So D-Mac, what do you think would be, Well, what would be the case right now if the Broncos way back when had committed to Tim Tebow, done everything you said, did not go after Peyton Manning, had committed to Tim Tebow? What would have ended up happening? Where would we be right now?
Oh, we would have already won a Super Bowl now. Oh, it would have taken, you know, a couple of years to... Okay, really? How's Ryan Ramczyk as a tackle? Is he any good? How is Eric McCoy as a center? How is Armstead as a tackle? How's their offensive line? Because that's where the Broncos would have gone if they had a player, if they committed to Tebow. It would have gone in that direction.
Fellas, I'm looking at him, and he said it with a straight face.
Okay, so that's on record. That's on record. If they had stuck with Tebow, they would have won a Super Bowl with him.
Can the Saints win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill?
Hold on. I'm just asking.
Can the Saints win a Super Bowl?
None of us think that Taysom Hill is Tim Tebow, so it's not a comparable question.
Can the Saints win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill?
Not a comparable question.
To me, it is. Mike, can the Saints win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
Mark, can they?
As currently constructed right now, no.
Oh no!
Like he's got to get a lot. I mean, he's going to have to get a lot better. But I'm just telling you where he is compared to where Tebow was. He's head and shoulders above when it comes to throwing the football.
One game throwing the football.
D-Mac, he's been doing it for two seasons.
Throwing the football, he had like 20 passes over the past two seasons. What is that?
I mean, I'm telling you, he's been playing for two seasons.
I get it. He's been running for two seasons and 20 passes. That's nothing.
Listen, I can see in one game a guy's ability to actually throw the ball versus what we saw with Tebow. And you were at practice, man. You watched him. You watched him dirt 15-yard passes.
I mean, it was constantly.
It was. So all I'm telling you is he's a far more accomplished player from a passing standpoint. Does he have a lot of work left to do? Absolutely, he's got a lot of work left.
Well, I'll be amazed if he's given the opportunity. But hey, I'm all for it because it's exciting and it's fun to watch. And what do you think? Well, I'll go to Mark on this because have you talked to anybody with the Saints yet this week, or is that later on for you? I'm gonna get
this week. It'll be later on. I did a game 2 weeks ago with the Saints, so I had conversations with Drew Brees and with Dennis Allen and Sean Payton and a couple other guys. So,
all right, well, let me start with the roundtable portion of the War Room, and I'll shut up a little bit and ask you guys. And I'll start with this: why do you think the Saints went with Taysom Hill instead of Jameis Winston?
I'll start. I think number one, Sean Payton believes that he can be the replacement to Drew Brees. Number two, they're playing the Atlanta Falcons, and the Atlanta Falcons have a book on Jameis Winston. They've been facing him for what, 5 years, and so they have a huge book on him. So I think there was a part of that wanted them to have to not have that preparation, that understanding, and they wanted him to work on Jameis Winston during the course of the week and not be prepared for Taysom Hill. So I think there are some things from a preparation standpoint. When you think about having to prepare for Taysom Hill, he plays about 20-25% of the plays when Drew Brees is playing. So, but the preparation that you put into that, you put in, you know, like 40% of your work because he is such a unique figure in that offense. So there's, you know, 20% of the plays that you know you're going to see that you don't work on, that you take portions of practice and you say, let's put that aside. We know we're going to see it. We've seen it. We'll play it. We'll practice it once instead of four times because we're going to look at these other four things. And so from a preparation standpoint, it just bogs down their ability to prepare for what you're going to do because they don't know what's coming at you.
Yeah, I think it's two things. Number one, Taysom Hill has been successful every time his number's been called. Sean Payton has success when he involves Taysom Hill in his offense. And when you have success with a guy, well, you start to trust a guy. Sean Payton trusts Taysom Hill. So you start there, and it's been successful. Number two, I think there's a curiosity factor for Sean Payton that I think really played into it. I'm guessing that he legitimately wanted to find out, what is this going to look like? You know, he probably had a pretty good gut of what his offense is going to look like with Jameis Winston. But what if this guy that we have had so much success with actually can play quarterback as well? So I think it's success and curiosity.
Mike?
Yeah, I think it's also kind of like a bit of an ego stroke, too, because if you're a guy like Sean Payton, you're known as an offensive guy, and you can design and devise a game plan that wins with Taysom Hill, you know, that sends your stock even higher than it was before. If you can sort of, you know, debut this guy and display him as a regular NFL quarterback. Plus, if you're Sean Payton, you've kind of got used and spoiled to the idea that Drew Brees doesn't really turn the football over. And that's probably a comfort to you as a head coach. And a guy like Taysom Hill, you probably can control a little bit and keep the offense a bit conservative. Where with Jameis Winston, I mean, the guy turned the ball over 39 times last year. So there's a wild card there that probably Peyton wanted to stay away from.
Hey, by the way, let me just say something really quick, D-Mac. But sure. Going back to your Tebow conversation, when you said, you know, do they have Armstead? Do they have Ramchek? Do they have, you know, yeah. McCoy? Do they have Andres Pete? Yeah, they drafted all those guys. They went after all those guys with Drew Brees as not to build up their running game with Taysom Hill. It was with Drew Brees.
Well, that's a different argument. But you know, that goes.
No, the argument was if they would have committed to Tebow, they would have got all these great offensive linemen and all these. No, they would. No, that was because of Drew Brees that they did that.
Well, first of all, the Broncos actually did have a good offensive line with Tebow. In fact, they were number one in rushing when he played the most. So they kind of already had the formula for how it was going to work. And of course, Tebow's completion percentage was absolutely abysmal. And do I like Peyton Manning more than Tim Tebow? Of course. Give me a break. What I think really would have happened is they would have lost patience with Tebow quickly. And even if they didn't get Peyton Manning, I think they probably in that particular draft would have drafted Russell Wilson, which sets up another conundrum for the future. But they didn't. They got Peyton as a backup. They got Brock, I guess, because they're both tall. And the rest is kind of history.
You know, guys, the most amazing thing about this whole Tebow thing is that where was he drafted? In the 20s, which according to D-Mac's ever-changing complex rules of drafting quarterbacks, you don't draft a quarterback in the 20s.
You should never do it.
You said the Broncos would have won a Super Bowl with a guy that was drafted in a place that you would never draft him.
Yeah, if you center everything around him, which of course they didn't do, and it's never, I think that's a ridiculous philosophy to stand by. Mike, I was trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shizzle once the decision that I never would have done in the first place was made. Thank you. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing to this day, by the way. We're trying to find the best solution to things we wouldn't have done in the past. And that's where we get to the Ryan Ramczyk, Eric McCoy. You realize if they didn't take Drew Lock, Eric McCoy was sitting right there, and they could have easily picked up Dalton Risner and Eric McCoy at the same time.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, listen, I ultimately agree with all – I think we're all on the same page that if you could have built up a stronger offensive line, you'd be more solid, and you're kind of chasing your tail. So with that, I'd like to segue into the Garrett Bowles apology tour. Mm. Mark, would you like to go first?
What would I apologize for?
There you go.
Good way. Hey, there's some good wedge driving right there, D-Mac. Well done.
Why would I ever apologize? I was right. For 3 years, he was absolutely horrendous. He's one of the worst tackles in football. He's played great. I've done nothing but praise him for playing great. He has been so good. You know what? I love the fact that he came out and basically took responsibility. And I told Mike today, my dad used to say this all the time when I was a kid, too many people in our society know their rights, not enough know their responsibilities. He took responsibility for stinking it up. He said, hey, Denver fans kicked me in the ass and I deserved it, right? I'll take responsibility. I changed some things. I worked hard. I did my, good for him, man. Good for recognizing that you weren't good enough. And you know, and hey, listen, man, you don't have to be, I don't have to apologize. The Broncos didn't pick up his fifth year option. They didn't believe in him either.
Right.
Nobody believed in him. And you know what? He changed it. Good for him. He's playing really good football right now. He went from their worst offensive lineman to their best offensive lineman. I wasn't wrong. For 3 years, I was 100% right. And I'm still right. It's amazing. I'm always right. You know what? Am I not correct, Tyler?
Oh, yes, you are always right, Mark. I mean, almost as right as I am. It's it's an impressive skill set that you have. I respect it. You know, I retweeted Troy Rank's article about Garrett Bowles today, about how he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. And I got a bunch of smart responses from people saying, oh, that must have killed you to tweet that out. I'm like, kill me to say it? What are you talking about? I've been praising this guy all year long. the dude is locked in right now. So somebody responds back and he says, "Oh, I've been listening to radio for the last 3 years, and you guys have absolutely been killing Garrett Bowles in the 6 years playing organized football. It's all he's had. When you have strong opinions, sometimes they come back to bite you." No, like, the opinions were right. He was playing bad football. It is what it is. We called out what we saw, and we are calling out what we see this year. He's playing great football right now.
Hey, so. This apology, wait a minute. Are you telling me all these people who are saying, "Oh, what do you have to say now?" You're telling me for the last 3 years they thought he was playing great?
Right.
I mean, when they would announce holding 72 and 70,000 people would boo, what were those people seeing? Apology tour. What do you mean apology tour? The guy sucked for 3 years. To his credit, he's turned it around. But let's not all of a sudden forget how bad he was.
So what do you do now with Garrett Bowles? What do you do?
Most likely headed towards a franchise tag. I mean, you could try to approach him with a long-term deal right now. I wouldn't. I think you've got the luxury of continuing to want to see this. Listen, you've got 3 years of really bad football, and you've got half a season of really good football. Which one is it? Which one is real? So I would want to see it through. I would want to convince myself that it is what it is. And when you get to the end of the season, and if you have to pay him like a top three tackle in the NFL, if that's the value that he's playing at when it all comes to it, just tag the guy. You've got the luxury of the franchise tag. I think it's very simple. You don't have to overcomplicate it. And then you might get yourself in a situation next year where it gets a little bit more interesting. And quite frankly, you know, with Garrett, he's going to be older. He'll probably be 30, 31 years old after a couple seasons here. After the franchise tag, he plays one more year. I would actually consider franchise tagging him again. I would. So you would give him probably about $27, $28 million over the next 2 years if you had to franchise tag him 2 years in a row.
And then he would be gone.
Yeah.
After that.
Well, more than likely.
Mark, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, first off, if you're Garrett Bowles, like, and they came to you now to redo your contract, I mean, you've never missed time. Yeah, you're at a point right now where I think most guys, Justin Simmons is the same boat. Why would you ever? Why would you not test the free agent market? I mean, people so overcompensate in the free agent market in today's marketplace. Now, I know that there is, you know, salary cap constraints, and the salary cap's probably going to go down, but, mm-hmm. you know, the money is, it's funny money, you know, it's completely fungible, so you can move it around and do with it whatever you seem to want. But I'm with Tyler. I'd let him play it out. I'd franchise him.
You would, though. You'd bring him back.
Oh, yeah. If he finishes the season like he's played to this point, are you going to draft the guy that's better right now?
No.
And two, hey, I know what's happened to us come free agency.
Yeah.
And the money that we spent on free agents. So, yeah, I mean, as long as Mike Munchak is here, as long as he's taking coaching, you know, which is something that I think he didn't do early in his career,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah, I would franchise. I wouldn't hesitate. I know one thing. You're not going to go, like, franchises don't go bust because, they pay guys who can play good. You know? I mean, if you develop a guy that plays well, then you should pay that guy. That, you should honor that. You should do that. And we've had, you know, a situation here where there are a lot of guys that we have let test the free agent market. That's a guy that right now, the way he's playing, if he plays that way through the rest of the season, franchise him and try to figure it out.
You agree, Mike?
Hey, listen, right now the Broncos are in a position they need more good players. They can't afford to lose, and I'll include Justin Simmons in this, they can't afford to lose good players. And if it means overpaying good players, maybe paying them great money, well, so be it, because they need more guys. They need more good players, and it's not like they've got a track record that, you feel that you could trust to replace a Simmons, replace a Bowles, in addition to the other needs that they need to fill. You sort of stumbled across, or not stumbled, but you've identified and developed two guys that have turned out to be good players. Now you've maybe boxed yourself into a position where you're going to have to overpay them a little bit, but all right, so what? They need more players like that. Not less.
Okay. Drew Lock. I want you guys, and I love the Derek Carr conversation too, but I want you to sort of fill in the blanks here. I can see, based on what I know right now, today, that I feel secure projecting Drew Lock is going to be just like fill-in-the-blank quarterback.
Oof.
Okay? You can think about it for a little bit. Because I love, the Derek Carr sort of argument. And if it could be Derek Carr, I mean, who wouldn't take that at that point? I can see, based on what I know right now, I can safely feel confident in projecting Drew Lock will be like quarterback. Who wants to go first?
I don't have an answer for it. I don't. I mean, safely.
It could be anybody.
Safely say that, he's. I don't know who this guy's going to be. I mean.
So you got nobody.
And I mean, dude, that'd be a dream if he'd be Derek Carr.
I'm not saying dream. You feel confident he'd be, you know, at least. How about that? At least this type of quarterback.
I don't know. You guys got some grand idea?
Boy. I mean, right now, I don't think he's a long-term winning starting quarterback in the NFL.
So you think
he's
Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, I mean, he's Trevor Siemian. He's Mitch Trubisky. He's, I mean, just check out the bus stop of all the failed quarterbacks right now. That's where I'd say
right now
he's trending right now.
Right now. So you are way down. Tyler, you're down. Mark, you got a name for me?
I was thinking the first guy that popped into my head was Andy Dalton. And then I thought, no, Andy Dalton's won too many games.
You guys are kind of down on Drew Lock here. You can't.
Right now, you're saying right now.
Right now.
Not six weeks from now.
Six weeks from now,
we could have a completely different opinion.
So you got a grand idea over there, you grandmaster?
Not necessarily, but right now, what you're telling me is that you do. All three of you lack confidence. You certainly need D-Bank, to see more.
Let me just say this.
You don't.
Let me say this. If Drew Lock gains experience over the next 6 weeks and increases his ability exponentially, okay, like let's say he doubles where he is right now, he's still the fourth best quarterback in the division,
mm-hmm.
and he's still way below the other three, and so I would just put it to you. I mean, you were a Buffalo fan after Jim Kelly retired.
And again, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah,
I was.
But
for a little bit.
I would put it to you. I would say, how many times did the Buffalo Bills win the division with the third or fourth best quarterback in their division?
They didn't do it.
Well, never.
Did they win the division with Flutie? I forget if they may have won with Flutie.
I think they went to the playoffs with Flutie.
Well, they did, for sure.
Yeah.
And then idiot decision, which was made by the owner more than Wade Phillips. They started Rob Johnson and then the Music City Miracle, and then I walked out of a Buffalo Bills bar here in Denver and I never looked back until Josh Allen came to town. Not that you care about those details, but I can't think of one.
But my point is that he's got to become way better. I mean, way better than he is right now. And even if he gets way better,
okay, how about
he's
this?
Still the fourth best quarterback in this division.
All right, so how about this? Do you imagine, quickly here, do you imagine you will know an answer to that question by the end of the season, yes or no?
Yes.
You think so, Mike?
As I sit here right now, the Denver Broncos have to bring in another quarterback to compete with Locke, but with the idea that quarterback is coming in with the understanding he can win the job.
Yeah, but do you think you'll feel confident where it is by the end of the season? I understand what you're saying, but do you think you'll have your mind made up by the end of the season?
That he can be the guy?
Well, no, that he can or can't, that you'll know enough.
I think by the end of the season we can know that he can't be the guy, but we can't know that he can be the guy.
Wow. Mm. All right, that's tough, Tyler.
That's actually pretty good. I do think we'll have a pretty good idea of who he is. I mean, it's a lot of football. By the time we get to the end of the season, we will have a good idea of who he is.
Yeah, but what Mike's saying is if he rips off, the last six games or wins, it's still not enough for Mike.
It's an interesting observation, really. I mean, he's running out of time. He's running out of opportunities. And the reality is, if he goes out and he wins, which would be a miracle, if you find a way to win three more games over the rest of the season.
Three more games would be a miracle.
Yeah, I think that's a miracle.
All right, Mark, what would be a miracle for wins for the Broncos for the rest of the season out of six? What's a miracle?
If they won three games, I would be shocked.
Mike?
I wouldn't call it a miracle. Four out of six would be a miracle.
Four out of six would be a miracle. All right, well, the jury's clearly out. I hear you. And by the way, I don't think we're going to have a firm answer on Drew Luck either by the end of the season. I don't expect them to win 5 out of 6. And I actually, as much as it pains me, Michael, agree with you on the quarterback situation, that at the end of the day, you got to bring in some sort of veteran competition. It's why I was actually disappointed Jameis Winston wasn't starting. I really, seriously, yeah. I wanted to see what was going on there, because he's going to be one of the names that comes up, as will Cam Newton, as will some of these other guys who haven't really made it.
Real quick, and maybe we could talk about it on the other side. How did you guys interpret what John Elway had to say about Locke? Did you take it as a vote of confidence or the dreaded vote of confidence?
We could address that when we return. Michael, nice job. And we can also get into power running. We got two big, burly offensive linemen here, Mike. Can't wait to get into the power running from the 60s, which both, apparently, the Broncos and the Saints do. The War Room continues next.